live Happy Wednesday.
Live on YouTube exclusively for the first time.
Yes, thought we'd do something a little different and go. We just created a brand new channel. And if you haven't watched any of our brand new videos designed specifically for YouTube, please make sure to do that afterwards. Before we start, give us a thumbs up and make sure to subscribe below and turn on those notifications as well by hitting the bell so you can get notified every time we release a brand new video.
So a few side notes here before we get started. You might see, oh, there he is. Oh. You might see Jax come into the picture. He's got his ball and he's playing, so you probably see him now.
Yes, he's been quiet all morning, but then the second we go live, I think he thinks we're talking to him, so now he decides to...
Yeah, he wants to come in the
yes.
video. So the joys of bringing our dog to work with us, so yeah.
The freedom of real estate to do what you want, and we often bring the kids to the office. We often bring our two German Shepherds. Today's just one of them, but yes, exactly.
So today I want to talk a little bit, or we are going to be talking a little bit about creative financing, followed up with some Q&A.
Yes.
Q&A is probably our favorite to do because people will have all sorts of different questions from all throughout North America, and it truly allows us to give back and answer some questions. So we specialize, we are practitioners of creative financing, OPM, other people's money. Using all of those to acquire real estate and meanwhile solely owning all of the real estate that we do have.
Yes, so what is creative financing? What is OPM and how do we do it all? How did we scale our portfolio? Why should you listen to us? Dave and I, we now solely own over 170 units. By the end of this month, we're closing on the final ones.
One of them is finalizing today. We're
yes.
closing today.
Yes.
There were some things that got bumped back. You know, real estate is it's a moving, living thing where,
yes.
especially on closing day, things can happen, things get changed.
After years and years and knowing what we yeah. know, sometimes there's still bumps in the road.
Because this was supposed to close last Tuesday, and here we are next Wednesday. So over a week. And again, the sellers understand, we understand, such is life.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit of nothing earth-shattering, but yeah, so we're finally...
These are bigger purpose builds, so there's more that goes into it and everything as well. But.
And we're in watch on, we're going to be doing some YouTube videos on these buildings as well. One of them is the oldest building in our city. It used to be a hotel.
Yes.
It's across from the old train station, so... Let's say, and I'm not a history person, but let's say when miners or railroad or anything, you know, fur harvesting was big here. So when they used to come into the city, they would get dropped off at the train station, and that was the first and only building in the city. And as of today, this afternoon, it will now be ours.
Yeah, super excited. Has apartments, has a little bit of commercial.
Has some storage
in it, so
it's got everything.
Nice
it's got
mix.
Everything.
Love the buildings. So we've been working on these ones for a long time, and we've done it all with creative financing. So what is creative financing? Creative financing is when you buy properties using none of your own money. So there's different ways that you can do that. There's lots of different ways, and that's what we do. And quite often, the key is not just being set on one way, because certain things might work for one lender or one owner, something else might not work for the next. So things like owner financing or vendor take back or seller financing, that's one creative way that you can buy properties using none of your own money. And if you're thinking it can't be done in my state or it can't be done in my province, I am here to be a little bit aggressive and say, yes, it can, because we personally know people in our mentoring program across the United States, across Canada, who are buying properties using their own money through creative financing.
Yeah, so this one, let's dive a little bit into this deal and the creative financing that was done. So we utilized mortgage brokers for financing, and I'm trying to think of the loan to value. So I'm not going to have the exact loan to values here, but they got us a first mortgage through a MIC. That is a, and I'm probably gonna butcher this here, it's a mortgage investment company or corporation. So a MIC, a different, you know, the mortgage broker found us a MIC to provide us the first mortgage. Now I think we got 70% loan to value through them. First mortgage, 70% loan to value, purchase price, we'll talk about in other videos and that. Now, that means that we had to come up with a 30% down payment. And this is where people get hung up because they say, I don't have the money. I can't come up with that money. The institutions won't allow it. Well, I'm here to say, look, we're closing today on a building with over 31 residential. I think there's seven, I forget the makeup of it again.
Commercial and storage.
A bunch of storage units as well. There's parking as well.
So up to over 50 or so units. Yes.
And that's none of our money. So did we have to put a down payment? Yes, you can't get away from that. Any real estate you purchase, you'll have to put away, especially if it's an income property, at least 20%.
Yes, 25% if it's commercial, right?
Yeah, and this one was 30 because they would only go up to 70% loan to value. So yes. Now we had to come up with 30%.
But the balance does not have to be paid by you. So yes, you do have to come up with that money. However, it does not necessarily mean that you have to use your own money. There's no way that Dave and I could have bought 12 properties in less than 12 months a couple of years ago. There's no way that since buying those properties a few years ago that we could have continued to grow and grow and grow and now solely own over 170 units if it wasn't for creative financing and doing these creative strategies. I had a conversation with the gentleman yesterday and he was asking, well, why do this? Why should I do creative financing as opposed to using my own money? I can maybe, you know, I make good money. I can maybe buy 2-3 properties every year and kind of recycle it. And I said, well, because yes, you can buy 2 or 3, but I can buy 12, right? And it's the how quickly you're able to grow, of course, doing your due diligence and making sure you're buying the right one and making sure you have your exit strategy and all that, of course. But you're able to grow and you're able to do so without having joint venture partners if that's what you wish to do. That's what Dave and I personally decided to do, is not having any joint ventures. So we solely own our entire portfolio and able to grow because of creative financing, and you can absolutely do the same as well.
Yeah, and in this case, we ended up, for the down payment, we ended up utilizing, because there was no owner financing. There was no seller financing, owner financing, or vendor take back. Otherwise, that would have been one of our primary resources for our down payment. So in this scenario, that was not a possibility, which is fine. You don't always get those, right? So now we were left with raising funds on the private lender slash investor side of things, which we do regularly. So this is, you know, known as the promissory note. Mel and I like to call it more of a contractual agreement. And we did a few of these to raise the funds for the down payment. And just off the top of my head, and I think we did one for 100, we did one for 70, we did a few for 50, we did one for 140. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different investors slash lenders, private lenders, that see the value in real estate, you know, and this isn't just Mel and I going up to him saying, hey, we think we have a good idea on a building and it's going to work out. Just trust us. No. That's not how it works.
No, it has to be very strategic. People are want to invest wisely with their money, and we show them our clear exit strategy. We can't close on deals if we don't show people how we are going to pay them back.
Yeah, so what we did was, yeah, contractual agreements, promissory notes for, let's say, a year to 18 months. And what we're going to be doing with this building, and again, I do want to do a video specifically on this building at one point, because I want to show you, again, it's the oldest building in our city.
Yes.
But what we're going to be doing is we're getting in there, we're going to be doing renovations. Lending world calls it is repositioning and renovations. So yes, we're going to be doing some renovations. The previous owners did a great job. I saw pictures of where the building was 10 years ago when they purchased it. They brought it a far away from
they
where it
did.
Was.
They did, and they've created a really, really neat culture within it. There's a lot of great, a variety of services that they have in there. They've done a fantastic job, absolutely.
Yeah, so now we're purchasing it, and we just want to put our touch on it, right? So we're going to reposition it, renovate to our liking, different things. To each his own, but the biggest portion here is with turnovers, with 31 plus residential units, there's going to be nonstop turnover, right? And that's where a little bit of renovations, a little bit of TLC, the rent's going up. So in at about the 8 to 10 month mark, we're going to go back to those same mortgage brokers, because this was the game plan going into the building. We're going to go back, we're saying we've done renovations, we've repositioned the building financially. Now let's get the appraisers to come in, let's get a higher appraisal, and let's refinance it. So all those people that entrusted us with their private lending and private funds in order to purchase this real estate, we are going to pay them back with the refinance. And this is something that Mel and I love saying, and it's so true. Right? We call it a lift. When we take a building that's underperforming, and don't take that as the wrong word. Underperforming, it just means to our where we think we can bring it, okay? We take the building where we see the rents are lower than what we think we can get.
I know, good point you say that. Underperforming almost could have a negative tone, but it's certainly not meant to have it say, I don't know, we'll have to think of a different term for that one, but anyhow, I'll keep posting.
Exactly.
Or if you think of a different word we could use, comment below and let us know what's another word for underperforming. Or
The way I see it is, I think I can get the rents up higher to a higher market rent. So that's what we're going to do with this one. Get the rents, most of the rents up to a higher evaluation or higher amount. So we're going to lift the building's evaluation. Then, again, coming back to our saying, the lift is for the investors. And this is where people get caught up because they say, well, Mel and Dave, you just put all this work into it. You got the lift, so you appreciated the building in value. And now you're going to refinance it, but you're not going to see most of that refinance. Aren't you sad?
Yes. Yeah.
And we say no, because it's not our money in the first place. It was the investors' money that they lent to us, and then the tenants paid higher rent, which made the building appreciate. So we literally created money.
Yeah.
And then we paid them back with that created higher evaluation money. So the lift is for the investor, and whatever's left over, Mel and I get to keep.
Yeah.
But most importantly, what's the most important part in that, Mel, about after the lift? No, not to put you on the spot, but and this is something, again, we talk about a lot in our mentor program, is the most important thing after is not the lift. It's you get to keep the building, right? It's the long-term play. It's not just that one refinance. It's the long-term play in this where you keep the building, you put none of your own money into it to get into it, you refinance, you paid out the investors, and now it's the return, it's the infinite return on investment. That's the true long-term play.
Exactly. So yes, you need an investor to do this with, and you create this win-win situation. So the lift is for the investor, you pay them back. Why do it? Why do Mel and Dave do it this way? Because, as Dave mentioned, we get something out of it. We continue to have the monthly cash flow. We bought this property using none of this, our own money. Without this private lender, we wouldn't have been able to have the property. That's why we don't mind. Absolutely, the lift is for the investor. Typically, quite often, there's some appreciation left in there for us as well that we can put to work for us again, either within that property or another property. But absolutely, lift is for the investor. You, as the investor, get that property using none of your own money. And it's also not a joint venture partner. You're not splitting any cash flow. You're not splitting any appreciation in the future. You pay them back with interest, but that's about it. You get to keep everything else moving forward for the years and years to come. It's solely owned, 100% of the equity, 100% of the cash flow, and 100% of the future appreciation as well.
No, and something you said there, Mel, and we've talked about this so many times, but you pay them back with interest, okay? So I would rather pay someone interest all day, every day, slam dunk, then pay them back with equity. Because interest can be a 1 year term, a one time thing, but paying back with equity is a long term thing that I do not want to participate in. And Mel, this is something I really want people out there, you the viewer, infinite, reach for infinite. Everyone talks about I'm getting X amount of percentage on my money or X amount of percentage on my return. Okay. That's great, that's awesome, hey, good for you. But when, in this example, with this building, we're going to get infinite return on investment. Purchase the asset, none of our money, pay everyone back, keep the asset, continue cash flowing. So the building keeps giving us money and we put no money into it. That is what you should thrive for, infinite return on investment.
Yes, and now I'm going to slow you down, as I often do, because they've talked very quickly sometimes. Thank you. Keep those questions coming.
Yeah, we're going to go over the Q&A soon.
And I'm going to say, most importantly, you need to determine where are you at. So, of course, many of our followers, they are investors like us. They are actively buying. but some of you I know are not looking to buy. You don't want to worry about property management or contracting out the property management or having the property and dealing with banks and dealing with insurance and all that. So step number one is decide which lane do you want to go. Do you want to be the private lender? Then in that case, you want to decide what kind of investment you want to do. Or do you want to do, if you own property before in the past, maybe you're going to do a vendor take back. If you have some liquid funds, maybe you're going to reach out to Mel and Dave and say, hey, let's do some kind of deal. Pay me interest. You guys do your thing. I'm just going to sit back, do absolutely nothing, and make money on my money. So also realizing that there are two different lanes. As an investor, of course, we prefer that infinite return on our money. If we're active investors, which we are, buying the properties, we don't aim for 10% or 20%. We want infinite return. If you decide that you want to stay in a private lender's lane, perhaps you're close to retirement or you're retired or whatever, or you already have a career and this is just a side gig and you don't want to have to put any time or effort into it, then the private lending is a great opportunity for you as well.
Yeah, and before we go on any further, if you like what you're hearing so far, if you like Mel and I's philosophy, we're on YouTube, it's our first live with you, click the subscribe button.
Give us a little love.
Yeah, click the subscribe button, give us a like, hit the notification bell so whenever we have videos, we're going to try posting one, maybe two videos a week moving forward. So, you know, soak up our knowledge. We want to give you as much free content as possible. YouTube is a great avenue to do it. So like our page, subscribe, hit the notification. Let's keep going. So that is an example today of a building that we're literally closing on today. It's a very exciting building. It's the biggest that we've done so far with this, the biggest we've done so far. And again, it was done with none of our money. So really one of the take homes before we get into the Q&A, Mel, Raphael's given us a pile there.
Yes.
Before we head into the Q&A, I really want to drive something home to you, okay? Don't listen to people that tell you this can't be done here, no one does it, that doesn't exist. People in our action group, our mentorship program, the Action Family is what we call it. So our Action Family members are doing this throughout North America, different cities, different towns, different provinces, different states.
Hot markets, secondary markets, it doesn't matter. We have people in secondary markets, we have people in California, Texas, Florida, Toronto, Montreal, BC.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, and in secondary markets like we are as well, it can work. So before we go to the Q&A, please, please, please remember it works everywhere and anywhere.
Awesome. All right. Some Q&A, and please continue to ask them questions below. So Mike, afternoon guys. Hello, Mike. Checking out the new format. Awesome. Good, good, good. And thank you
Thanks,
for being here. Amazing, how exciting.
Cool. Thanks, JD.
I think it was JD. I can't. Yes. I'm looking at Rafael. All right. Mohammed, hello. Do you only buy properties which needs to be renovated and fixed? So great question. We personally prefer to buy underperforming properties. Now, it doesn't mean they have to be huge flips. Sometimes they are strictly underperforming. Maybe the rents are low. Sometimes they just need a little bit of TLC, maybe a new countertop or paint. And we've also done it where it's a complete flip. Like it's completely gutted. We have to put money into it. And now often we get the question, well, how do you come up with that money if it's, especially if it is a flip or you have to put a lot of money into it? It depends. Sometimes if it's just a little bit of money, we'll use our own money. This is why I love using other people's money to fund the deals, so that way I still have my money to put into the renovations. If it's a huge flip, so for example, we have a triplex, so it's a bank repo, gutted, put a significant amount into it, in that case, we could do either a private lending, private funds, for example, promissory note.
Yeah, and the reason why we do that, just so you're wondering, why do we buy properties that we think will need some work? If you buy a building that's already at its peak performance, you can't lift it any further. So when using other people's money, if you can't lift it any further, how are you going to increase the evaluation to get the refinance to pay out the investor? So that's very important. If you're using OPM, it kind of limits you to buying those buildings where you can lift the appreciation.
Yes. JD, what's the most amount of private lenders you've had on one deal? The amount of private lenders that we've had?
Yeah, and probably, and I don't want to give too many, but probably these upcoming deals, because there was no owner financing, so a lot of it had to be OPM with private lenders. So we could range sometimes from having the owner itself holding the entire second mortgage. So there could be just the first bank and the second mortgage, or sorry, the owner in the second, so two. We've had some where there's multiple people that have smaller pools of money that divvy up, adding up to that down payment, right? Like let's use an example, and I'm not saying these buildings, but let's just use an easy example. So we've had a few different scenarios where we've had a few different lenders, but let's say you need $200,000 on your down payment, and you open up a pool to investors and lenders, and they each have $50,000, right? Their risk tolerance says, I want to invest $50,000 into this project, and now you need to find another three, right? So 50 times four, that adds up to the 200. So I wouldn't, yeah, we've had other investors, or sorry, we've had multiple investors on different projects, but I would look at it more as, and I know you're just asking, but I'm just talking to everyone else there too. Look at it more as how much funds you need to raise. How much interest can you afford to pay on this particular deal, right? What can the deal sustain, support debt-wise? And then if it makes sense, raise the funds and just make sure that you know how you're going to pay them back before you touch a cent of other people's money.
Yeah, absolutely. What happens if market crashes while doing renos and Lyft Amount doesn't pay everyone out? What's the suggestion?
Yeah, and that's JD?
Yes.
Yeah, great question, JD. And this is where it comes with experience, okay? So like, let's say these big projects right now that we're doing, I wouldn't tackle this on my first one. Like these are millions of dollars of buildings that we're purchasing, okay? Now, if this is your first time, and hey, we've been there, we've done that, right? We used to tackle $100,000 duplex or $200,000 duplexes. So it's a different ball game, but it's all relative and it's all into perspective. So let's say something happens, the market dips, you don't get the appreciation that you wanted, you don't get the lift that you wanted. There's a lot of different plans out there. So when we do our, because we stress test ourselves before we even bring it to the bank, right? We underwrite the deal, we look at our global portfolio, so our entire portfolio, and we do a stress test and we make sure to underwrite it. What happens if this deal goes sideways? We didn't get the lift we wanted, the institutions won't give us the loan to value that we're looking for. What do? We have plan A, B, C, D, E. And I'm not gonna give you all of them, but this includes, what equity do you have in other buildings? What reserve funds do you have? The reserve funds is important because you're not using your own money to buy the buildings. Now you have those reserve funds that other people would otherwise use as their down payment, okay? So that's one as well. And then even the extension of loans, right? Lenders understand that sometimes the markets dip. Most lenders will extend if you have a game plan, but doing these stress tests on yourself, and I suggest this with anyone, whether you're buying a single family dwelling, a condo, an apartment, a duplex, or 100 units, look at your overall portfolio before getting into these deals, and then see if you will be able to weather a storm and if your portfolio can help support other buildings in times of need.
Yes, absolutely. And always adjust as well, right? So if you're predicting that maybe interest rate is going to go up, right? So take that into calculations when doing your cash flow analysis. So that way we always play around with numbers. This how it is. What if the interest rates go up in a couple of years? Okay, let's see how the building will be performing. So play around with your numbers and always have that extra cushion, of course, so that way you're always prepared and have that backup plan B and C as well.
Yeah, insulate yourself.
Where did you get the money to do the renovations? And I guess I kind of touched on that earlier. Essentially, I get the money from sometimes we use our own money if it's just a small amount. Quite often, we might use a private lender just to do that. Maybe we'll borrow $40,000 or $50,000 to help with the flip. We'll of course speak with the lender of where we're putting their money and show them where we're going to be doing it. And again, you got to make sure to have your, if you're going to spend $50,000, the lift that we forecast, it has to be way more than that. So that way, if it doesn't end up being quite as much or something goes wrong and there's unforeseen expenses, you want to make sure to always leave yourself lots of cushion. What's your time frame for refinancing? Do you apply for refinancing after a year or longer? And great question, Mohammed. And this depends, honestly, on what is your project. So if I'm doing a complete gut job and a flip, I know that I'll probably be able to refinance faster because in this case, I also want to get my tenants in faster than usual. So in that case, yes, it would be less than a year. The majority of the time it ends up being more than 1 year. And again, a lot of that is to always leave myself that cushion. And the key thing here is that if you're going to use other people's money, let's say you predict that, we use our matrix, it shows us the building today, how it's performing. On the other side, it shows us our exit strategy and how we're gonna get that lift, and we show that to lenders. If we're predicting we can do that in 3 years, I'm probably not gonna go for a 3-year term. I'm gonna push for longer because I never wanna be in a situation that something happens and I need a little bit more time and I have to pay them back and I'm not able to. So always, whatever you predict your time is, you predict 3 years, go for 4 or 5 years. And if you repay them early, awesome, they're gonna be happy. We love repaying our lenders early. Those who want to be repaid early, some of them don't. In that case, of course, we work with them as well.
And the major thing that the institutions will be looking at, usually the shortest is 6 months or so, right? But the major thing they will be looking at, and we mentioned it earlier in the video, was renovations and repositioning of the asset, okay? So when you purchase that income property, the asset, if you're going back to the bank 6 months down the road, what have you done, right? If you haven't done anything, they're gonna say, well, the asset hasn't been renovated or it hasn't been repositioned. And that's where, as soon as we get, like the building we're getting today, again, it's in great shape, everything's good, but we're gonna put our touch on it. We're gonna do a couple of renovations that we think will help increase the value. We're gonna reposition the rents as people move out, we're gonna get the rents up. So when we go back in 8 months to refinance, to pay everyone out, the institution is gonna see there's been renovations and there's been repositioning of the rents. So we've done that. Now they'll be able to refinance the asset and give us that higher valuation. So those are the important key factors I'm talking technical here, that the institutions look at what have you done. And if you've done some of that, then they'll be willing to reevaluate it.
Yes. So if you've liked today's session, give us a thumbs up. Make sure to check out our other videos. We have lots of new videos posted as well, so make sure to go check them out. And of course, if you haven't, please subscribe and hit that bell so you can be notified next time that we go live as well.
Yeah, and please comment below. Tell us what you liked, tell us what you didn't like, tell us how we can improve, tell us where we shined. Did you like seeing Jax at the start? Do you want Jax to sit beside us there on the couch moving forward? Whatever it is, let us know. We're always looking to improve. We want to grow the YouTube channel. So let us know. No feedback goes unlistened to.
We can take it, right?
We have broad shoulders.
Yeah. Awesome. So have an amazing action-packed week. And thanks so much for tuning in. And we will see you next time.
Bye for now.